Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, and today we'll be interviewing Anelia Benz. I've provided some links on the Cosmic Love homepage that gives her two sister websites at anelia.com and ascension101.com, and also a link to an interview with Bill Ryan of Project Camelot. I highly recommend that you read Anelia's excellent answers to the most asked questions about her work, and you can find that at her Anelia.com website. If you go to the lower right-hand part of the page and click on the words that say, read more about Anelia, and her thoughtful answers to frequently asked questions highlight much of the cosmic law of cosmic love, the rules of love. Anelia has a very interesting international perspective, having been born in Chile, growing up in England, Ireland, Spain, and now in the United States for about 7 years. But she also has an extraordinary cosmic perspective that I believe you'll find interesting, and specifically what's happening on the planet right now with the accelerated rate of change and the quickening of conscious evolution referred to as the ascension process. Thank you, Anelia, for being with us today on Cosmic Love.
Thank you as well. It's lovely to be here.
Anelia, I'd like to address this ascension process in brief so we can expand on it the rest of the show. Could you go into that a little bit?
Well, the way I use the word ascension is basically an expansion of awareness of each individual. So if somebody starts, for example, in a state of depression, when they expand their awareness, they will start looking around and they might go into a state of contentment. And then it goes on and on from, you know, like joy and then enlightenment and oneness. But it's all about the expansion of awareness. And this is like graphically explained as well when, again, taking the lowest example of somebody being in a depression, they don't see anything. They just see blackness all around and they're like in a black pit and they can't see past their own suffering. As soon as their vibration raises a little bit, they will be able to see more about their lives, maybe their environment, other people in there, and it goes on, and the expansion of awareness then grows towards the whole world collective and the true nature of consciousness, or the true nature of being, existence. And what's happening on the planet at the moment is that as a collective we've decided to move a vibrational level or two, depending on, you know, the person, and we've done it, you know.
So we're talking about a vibrational upgrade.
Yes.
So one of the tools you seem to emphasize for a vibrational upgrade is what you call processing negativity. And I know what you mean by that. And I realize that clearing the bad habits of old beliefs, thoughts, feelings, and actions is vitally important. So could you shed some light on how we bring more light to dark places in ourselves and our connection with others?
Yes, the process that I use and that I teach is very, very simple. It's not about analyzing or judgment or even looking for what it is, but actually looking for the vibration, because all these memories or feelings, fear, for example, would be the lowest denomination of the negative fear, the negative vibration. Our low vibration would be fear, and basically one would scan the body or in the subtle bodies to see where the energy is, where the bundle of stuck fear would be. And once one finds it, then it's just about focusing on it, looking at it, and allowing it to be there. Because basically once you allow something to express, you allow something to exist, it will then be free to move on. So basically, you look at it, you focus on it, you allow it to be there, and you embrace it, you know? And then once it expands, you allow it to expand as big as it can get, and then sometimes it will express. It will express perhaps in a memory or perhaps in another feeling or a color or even a flavor. And once it expresses, then you show gratitude for that expression rather than why or, you know, what's this? You know, you don't analyze it. You just allow it to be. And then you can infuse it with light and love so that it can be released. It's freed, you know, because it's like enslaved energy that's stuck to one. And that's basically once one does that with fear, anguish, anxiety, and other things as well, like sadness or loss, all those things, once we process, as they come up, our vibrational level starts to rise because the average, you see, once you process the lower vibrations, the average will go up automatically. And as you spend also sometimes in the day in the vibration of gratitude or love and light, as some people would say, that will also, you know, fill up your cup with light.
Wow. Yeah, more light, less darkness. It's kind of like working with the energy fields of the body. When my third holistic health center I had, I was working with electrodiagnostics, and I found out that with the electroacupuncture, you could actually check the energy meridian systems of the body and find out where there was energy blocked in organs of the body, and where energy, you might say, had crystallized. And of course, I came to understand that as so often a negative emotion that would correspond to a part of the body that was either the weakest link in the body or otherwise afflicted, but the energy would coalesce there and create a blockage. And it's just like cancer, they say, is like internalized anger. And it can be focused in an organ system or systemic in the whole body. And clearing that energy, with holistic healing practices and different, you know, modalities, energetic modalities, homeopathy and nutrition.
That's right.
Corresponding thing physically is that I understand goes on with, a person's habits, and whether they're soul habits from previous embodiments in this dense octave of incarnation,
yes.
or whether it's just, you know, habits this time around, habits of belief, thoughts, feelings, and actions, they can get crystallized, I understand, with negativity. So I really appreciate, you know, your work with bringing light to dark places in this regard. In the 1980s, there was a TV series called Quantum Leap.
I used to love that show.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. And for the listeners, it was about a time traveler who had to be very careful influencing the timeline when he, you know, traveled into different timelines that were critical for the planet. And this time traveler was given different assignments, and he had a communications device with his team in other dimensions beyond time. And his team was always debriefing him on the probability of events for the better or worse to guide him in the fulfillment of his mission. Isn't that something like what you do with your assignments?
Well, that's a really good way to put it, actually. But it's actually different because I don't get debriefed as such. It's more like being placed in the right time, place, and just a knowing of what might, you know, go forth from there. But normally I don't even know what the result's going to be, right? What I have learned throughout my life is that my entire existence has never been about, you know, like the evolution or the experiences of Inelia. You know, it's like it's always been about the mission that we're doing here. And any time that I've even thought, oh, maybe this is for my whatever, I just get laughed out of the place. But yeah, it feels a little bit like Quantum Leap in that I do get put into situations and places and asked to do stuff. Obviously, there's a free will involved as well, right? I mean, I have to say yes to whatever I'm being asked to do. But at the same time, it's not really about this personal singularity's evolution because like I say, I'm just a hologram, a projection. I don't really exist, you know. It's just
an illusion.
Yes.
Well, I understand this concept of that different people, different ones of us come in with different soul contracts, and it seems like you came in with a very clear vision, mission from the very beginning, that, you know, we need to raise the vibration of the planet. And this concept of conscious evolution that I've really emphasized a lot in my writings and researching and interviews with other guests on Cosmic Love, always comes around to that vibrational state, you know, that we're in, and tools and processes to culture and upgrade that vibrational state. And I've been looking at this from a lot of different perspectives. There are a lot of people whose sole contract, I really believe, is to have a mission. A lot of people have forgotten or just kind of awakening to that same sense of the same mission, purpose of, you know, a vibrational upgrade, a consciousness upgrade, in a collective conscience source. That small voice within of conscience, you know, I don't think a lot of people relate to that, but mm-hmm. how to culture that relationship with source or this conscience or God, or people refer to the I Am presence, God is as it is commonly known. And there are numerous messengers of the ascended masters on the earth at this time. And there are a lot of people, like I say, awakening to this sense of the message of the spiritual masters, you know, ancient and modern and present. And I've known several of them personally, you know, messengers of the masters. And I've had a few of them on Cosmic Love. And one thing in common with them is the message that you also share, that we're all supposed to be messengers of our higher self or our real self. With a direct connection, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are our birthright that come naturally as we follow a spiritual path. So could you expound on that a little?
Well, I think that it's true. Everybody will come in, everybody who's listening to this show, and because of the nature of the show, will be here with a mission. And sometimes a person will have trouble or remembering what the mission is. But basically, when somebody comes to me and say, can you tell me what my mission is? I would say, have a look and see what brings you joy. Because the mission is always accompanied by an extreme amount of joy. Once you remove the ego wishes and ego fears around whatever it is that you're doing, you will go into a place of joy. And it's also, with regards to communicating with your higher self or with source, it's the old message, you know, like silence your mind and do a very simple meditation every day. And people will say, oh, I'm not in a meditation type person. And I have to tell you, I'm not in a meditation type person either. But there's lots of different methods about going into the altered state. And one of the simplest ones that I always talk about is the one where you just breathe in and out through both, you know, like visualize breathing in through both nostrils, and then just feel the air going in and out. If you're blocked, then you just visualize it or imagined that is going in and out of both nostrils. And it's about, you know, the mind will pop in after a few seconds at first and start, you know, thinking about stuff, and then just thank the thoughts and then just concentrate on feeling that air moving in and out of your nose. And that, you know, expand it every day, a little bit every day, and it's really, really useful to silence the mind. Also, with regards to listening to what's coming, the first tool I think that our higher self uses is that of synchronicity. Synchronistic events, things that happen, and it's just to draw our attention to how those messages are coming forth. Of course, we can become a little bit obsessed, and then we think everything has a meaning right around us and everything that happens. And to a certain extent, it does, but when we're dealing with very specific messages, you can't miss them. But it's about opening... Go ahead.
I've had some synchronicities in my life that just completely blew me away. I mean, just, you know, there, and where you know there's an invisible hand of God.
Right. Yes.
And I really believe there's a, people are experiencing a lot more synchronicities. There's a the veil is thinning, you know, with this galactic alignment thing going
absolutely.
On. The energetics of the whole Earth is changing quite dramatically, and we're seeing it with the weather, and we're seeing it with you know, all kinds of Earth changes, and we're seeing it in our consciousness. And a lot of people are so to speak, from the inside out, are changing, and they're, I mean, it's their DNA resonating, you know, like a tuning fork on a cellular level with you know, the energies of cosmos or the galaxy. And my understanding of that is that I mean, we've got our galaxy, you know, with hundreds of thousands of star systems, hundreds of millions of star systems.
Yes, absolutely.
Or the billions. And they're in a galactic plane. You know, the whole galaxy from space looks like the Sombrero Galaxy, our galaxy. Mm-hmm. And it's like in a plane, like the, you know, the rim of the Sombrero, or in the middle of it, where the, you know, like the, there's this great central sun, this huge, giant central sun, and it resonates out to all these hundreds of billions of other suns. And our solar system orbits up and, you know, across that galactic plane every 26,000 years.
Okay.
And my understanding is that this is what's happening in this 26,000-year cycle, precession of the equinox. We come up through this galactic plane. And if not every, so I've heard also 13,000 years, because it crosses it, coming back and forth as it orbits across this galactic plane. And the alignment right now is creates, you might say, like a conjunction with all these hundreds of billions of star systems and the great central sun, and that resonant energy. The resonance is so strong right now with the Earth, and it resonates in our DNA. And there's an intelligence in that light. There's an intelligence, call it of God or of universe. It's all connected in the mm-hmm. unified field. And there's this resonance is actually trans. There's all kinds of researchers and physicists that are saying that it's morphing matter. It's changing.
Yes.
Our DNA. It's and more strands of DNA, and our consciousness is dramatically changing right now. And there's this awakening as it's from the inside out. And by God's grace, there's no stopping it.
No, there's no stopping it. That's the whole point. And, you know, it's like, it is reflected. I know some people get frustrated about the people who are still asleep, still watching TV and just getting drunk or drugs or whatever. And they
yeah.
have, like, there's a feeling that there's no consciousness there. There's not awakeness there at all. But at a collective level, if we look at it, just the objective way looking at it, it's amazing. Like you mentioned before, all these people who are channeling ascended masters, they have never been so many in history before. Never, you know? This
yeah.
is the first time there's so many. And also that everybody around us knows what the word manifestation means, you know? Thanks
yeah.
to stuff that's coming through into the collective, into the masses. And it's like little things. A few months ago now, might have been even last year, I can't remember now. I was taking my little boy, because I have a 5-year-old, to his swimming lesson. And I was sitting by the side of the pool watching the lesson going on, and there was a few people, grown-ups on this side where I was, that they were doing exercises too. And there was two ladies going up and down, you know, talking about somebody's sister-in-law, the usual things, and hairdressers and color of nail
yeah.
varnish. And then one of the ways when they went past in front of me, they were talking about chakras and etheric bodies, you know, and sorting out one's karma so that we can evolve. And I thought, what? You know, it's like it's happening. It's happening
yeah.
everywhere.
I'm seeing a lot. I mean, it's kind of amazing. And I guess it really is, it's where there's pure intention to know better. people, they do better. Their attention is directed to things spiritual and conscious evolution and the processes of consciousness and how, you know, processing their own thoughts and stilling their minds. And I like to use the analogy of a still mountain lake, you know, that reflects the heavens, like still consciousness will reflect, you might say, the superconscious as well as the subconscious. You can see just like deep into a still mountain lake, you can see down into through the waters into the sub, you know, terrain of the lake, just as well as it will reflect the heavens. And when you're still your mind in that same regard with breathing, then that's a critical part of it, I really believe, too, that you get in that meditative state where you can mediate between heaven and earth, you know, the higher and the lower, and process it.
Yes, absolutely. I love the imagery. It's beautiful.
I think it's, at least it's obvious to me that when the mass awakening of humanity reaches critical mass, there will be a collective aha moment for humanity when cosmic love or universal love ignites our collective conscience and makes our divisions obsolete.
Yes.
Is this what you see happening?
I do, but I don't see it as an aha moment. I see it as baby steps. I see it
baby
happening
steps.
Every day mm-hmm. or like every few weeks. It'll be like a little bigger of a step. But it's baby steps. So that's because what I've also noticed, and this is something that others have talked about as well, when you change somebody's reality too fast or too drastically, you lose them. You know, their mind or their ego shatters. And it's really a painful process. And you could lose them, like, for a long time. But if it's done gradually, a little bit, baby steps at a time, it's easier for everybody because it's like an ease into it.
Yeah. My expression is if your mind is too open, your brains will fall out.
Yeah.
Well, to me, you know, this whole process of guiding the spiritual path, or, you know, providing options for the spiritual path, you know, for more light, easier and faster. I can't think of anything better to do. It seems like a worthy goal, and I see success as the ongoing realization of this worthy goal. Is that how you would define success?
Well, I don't really know. I don't really have any attachment to what I would consider success.
To results.
Yeah, results, that's right. It's just a process. You know, it's like listening to music. You're not waiting for the end of the piece. You're just in that moment listening to the notes and enjoying it, you know? Of course, there's sometimes a bad piece of music will come on and you just switch it to another channel, but... So there's the free will, but at the same time, it's for me. It's like my personal experience would be just watching or like just being in the middle of it. You know.
So it seems like you're very much in real time mode. You know, like the fully present moment to moment.
Right. Yes.
And you came out. You came in, from what I understand, without a lot of baggage.
Right. Yes.
You don't have that many filters for many embodiments in this dense octave of incarnation.
No, that's right. Yeah. Well, my body did, but I didn't. And
yeah, your body does because of the DNA and the records from generational records.
Exactly. Yeah. The genetic, or what I call the body being. That's a great explanation, actually, the way the genetics come through. But it has its strengths and it has its weaknesses because a lot of the time I don't really, for most of my life, for example, I knew what the mission was, but I didn't have words, for example, to express it. As a young child, I knew what had to happen. I knew that everybody or the planet had to have a high vibration or had it. The way my little mind would express it would be, I wanted to take everybody's sadness away from them. Yeah. And I thought, well, if I take it all, then everybody else will be fine, and I can handle it. You know, it's like,
well, in a sense, that's true. You know, but you know, there is this thing of I know, you know, I've read stories about how people have taken the problems of the world into their body.
I know, it's just bad.
Became the suffering sinner saints.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
You know,
like, and then I went through different things because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know the vocabulary even of what had to happen. I just had these visions and I had that knowing, but I didn't know how to translate it. And that came later through years of learning, and I had to study things. I had to go out and experience things and get into situations and learn from them, just like everybody else. But it was a lot of the time, for example, I wanted to understand suffering because I couldn't understand how anybody could hold on to pain, right? I didn't know, you know, the difference between pain and suffering. Pain has a role. It's a red flag. Something's going wrong, so you have to look at it. You know, you break your arm, it hurts so that you can heal it. You take actions to make it better. And the same with the emotions and experiences. But I didn't know why people held on to it. And when you hold on to it, then that turns into suffering. And I couldn't understand it. And when I was 14, I decided I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. And, of course, that was a huge mistake. Then I was stuck. You had to have a level of forgetfulness. You had to forget the fact that that was an illusion, you know. And it took me decades to get out of that. You know, it took literally decades to learn. And most of the time, it wasn't really real for me because the way it happened was that I was placed in situations of pain that I couldn't get away from. So it was a continuous pain so that I could understand suffering, but it wasn't me holding on to them. As soon as I moved out, it was gone, you know, so I still couldn't understand that program. And that's what I learned. It's actually a program. It's a chain. It's a chain of enslavement. Holding on to that.
Yeah, the most difficult thing in the world is to remain non-attached to those worldly things, thoughts, feelings. You know, that's the sense of separation and suffering.
Yes.
And so I think that's a universal experience of humans.
Yeah, you know, and it was like, it's been an education, you know. It's like, so when you say, yeah, you came in with no baggage, but at the same time, because I didn't have that baggage, I had to learn from scratch, you know.
And that's right.
Intense. Very intense.
It's an interesting story you have of, you know, from the time you were just, you know, really, really small, and you were, you know, even a baby, and trying to move your body, and you know, with this fully aware intent, you know, to do what you came to do, and you just had to learn, you know, how the body, you know, what this body thing is all about.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was a little bit, difficult.
And
at the same time, throughout many, many years of my life, or most of my life, I was told that I mustn't show myself. I had to kind of hide behind this big, like, lead mask so that my light wouldn't show, you know? And I never knew why, but I just listened. And then one day, I think it was the year 2001 or even 2000, could have been a little bit after that, I was just sitting in a park with my sister. We were doing a little fair to bring, because she's a light worker, a light warrior. She goes into the darkest places and she brings light at a physical level. So there was this really run-down, really bad neighborhood with lots of drugs and dealers and gangs and stuff. And she organized this group of people, artists, that went into this little park. And they would just sit there for a Sunday and they would sell books or art or whatever, or just sing and dance, whatever, you know, just bringing light into that place. And like years later now, that place is beautiful. But going back to this story, I was just sitting there on the edge of a little wall, and all of a sudden I got the message, okay, you can start removing this lead mask now, you know. And I thought, oh, okay, you know. So I started looking at it just like that process that I do. I just look at it and embrace it and whatever, because that's a construct. Just like the constructs, energy constructs that we carry with us, like programs, that's just another one. So I just processed it and it started to dissolve. And two people came up to me to ask me spiritual questions. And I mean, they didn't even know me from Adam. You know, they didn't know me at all. And I thought, whoa, you know, that really works. You know, it's just to remove that stuff and just to show oneself as being, just being oneself helps those around us. You know, it's the most basic levels. And yeah, so it's like, it's been a process for me, lifelong process. And last January I was asked to go public and I thought, you know, I don't think I'm going to be very good at this because I'm very private, you know, and I don't like really to be out there. And you had to, because I put a lot of work out there before in my entire life. I always wrote books and tools and things, but my name was tiny and in the background. So people knew my books, but they didn't know who wrote it, you know, that kind of thing. And it was
about, I've always been a behind-the-scenes kind of a guy.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Extremely shy.
Yes,
extremely shy in my youth. And just like shy of the world. I actually got into photography, and I freelanced for 15 years. And as long as I was behind the camera as an objective observer, just kind of watching why people do the things they do and trying to capture, you know, the light in a way that, you know, reflected, you know, something beautiful.
Yeah.
Then I became more conscious of how I was conscious, and I actually got to a point where when I was really, you might say, in tune with the wedding party, whatever, I could actually, there was times that, that I could just convey a light where people would light up and get the picture. And I had some amazing experiences like that. But I know what you mean, that there is a... There, I think everyone has these gifts, all kinds of gifts that they suppress because they've been taught from the earliest age that, you know, that we're not supposed to know things.
Or it wasn't the right time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a experience not too long ago at Chico Hot Springs where there's this fountain comes out into from the hot pool into the main pool. And I would put my head back in there, and as the water would go over my ears, the fountain would go over my neck and my ears, you know, the white sound would create an altered state of consciousness in a few minutes.
Yes.
And I took my mask off one time, and I played with some people there saying, you know, that ask me anything. I'm the Oracle of Delphi.
I love it.
And that was quite an experience. It was pretty amazing because I just kind of went into that mode.
We live at
a really amazing time. You know, I mean, this is just an amazing time to be alive, and it seems self-evident, at least to me, that so many of the divide to conquer strategies of the dark side of the force are meant to divide our individual relationship with our higher self, or I call it conscientious common sense as our source connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you've got the priestcraft and organized religions that have made themselves the middlemen, interjecting doctrine and dogma that gives more allegiance to different churches than universal love.
Yes.
And you've got organized medicine does the same thing with most medical doctors as the high priests with their drug sacraments, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever ails you. And politicians are notorious for this, acting like they represent us when their allegiance is usually the power and profit at the expense of the public.
Yes.
So how close are we to an agreement within the collective conscience that will change this situation in the short term rather than the long term?
Well, the agreement is already there. It's already there. It's just like we were talking about before, those baby steps of change. It can't really be overnight. It can't be just one day that it all changes, because that shatters that individuality, it shatters the mind. But the agreement of this move has already happened. The people who agree to move on to a more empowered and more creative reality, more collective reality, and the ones that decided to stay under the influence of others or somebody else to call the shots for them. That has happened. It's already split. It happened last was it last week? I can't remember now. So I'm really bad with time space. The last week of August and the first few days of September.
Yeah, I was reading your article about that. It's a very interesting article on your website, Ascension 101. That's up there now. And this is actually going on. I think I mentioned to you that I wrote a parallel article.
I know, I read that. It's amazing.
And that there's this sorting of the white and dark and the wheat from the chaff and the you know, the higher from the lower. And I think there's a movement towards, oh, what's that expression? Come out and be a separate and chosen people.
Right, that's the thing, you see, because chosen, I've always, one of those, that's been one of my teachings, is that the chosen are not chosen by somebody else.
The chosen are those who choose.
One chooses, you see.
One chooses.
Yeah, one chooses one or the other. It's not another thing or being or thing that comes in and chooses for us. Or, that's why I don't agree with the words like the harvest, because it's not a harvest. It's like, it's basically we go towards the vibration that meets us. So it's like, that's how we choose. We are vibrating at a certain level, or we want to vibrate at a certain level, and then we go towards that vibration, and that's how the separation happens. It's not by somebody else or something else. We're doing it. Each individual person has a choice. So when one is afraid, oh my God, you know, did I make it or will I be chosen? It's not about that. It's how are you going to choose? Which one are you going to choose?
That's a good point. So this whole thing of the harvest, so to speak, is not someone doing it to us. It's what we do to ourselves.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
Oh, that kind of fits in with my concept of my understanding of one in God is a majority. When you're in that consciousness, that one individual that's connected with all individuals at the highest level is like a majority to those at a lower level. Now, when I say that, I get this from Dr. David Hawkins. He's the guy that did the book Power versus Force. Of human behavior, and they did millions of kinesiology studies for decades, over decades, and they found out, with you know, corroborating all the research, that one individual who lives and vibrates to the energy of pure love and reverence for all life will counterbalance the negativity of 750,000 individuals who calibrate at the lower weakening levels.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is really interesting to me.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Because it's what we're talking about before, it's that expansion of awareness.
Yeah.
If your awareness is very, very small at the time, your only influence is very tiny, because you're only aware of that tiny little place, right? As your awareness expands, then your influence becomes larger and bigger, and you resonate with others, you know, at that vibration.
I think what's really interesting right now, you know, with this cosmic time in history, is that this resonating, or this resonance, is being amplified and qualified by the energies of the great central sun and the galactic plane as it interfaces with Earth crossing that galactic plane. I mean, there's like this resonance that carries intelligence. There's an intelligence that's just on an atomic, cellular, you know, heart chakra, energy chakras, you know, energetically, there's this resonance, and there's a lot more of these individuals who are holding the balance for hundreds of thousands of other individuals.
Yes.
And it's reaching that, you know, that aha moment, when I say critical mass, where, you know, where it becomes common sense. Then that's, you know, Kalman refers to this, what I call common sense, as unity conscience. Or consciousness, or universal co-creation with the Creator.
Yes. In being in that space and bringing that energy in is so important. It's so important.
So important. Now, I know you have a lot of tools for spiritual growth and development that that you provide on your Ascension 101 website
mm-hmm.
With your course. And I know you've been, I'm sure, processing, you know, the what I call the components to the capstone, mm-hmm. you know, this understanding where people have the vision of how they can, you know, upgrade their vibration.
Yes.
With tools, these different tools and processes and thought forms and processes. And you've shared some of that with us. And, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, I think it's becoming more obvious to a lot more people that a paradigm shift is needed on the earth. And we're seeing it with a lot of people just saying, you know, this far and no further. I've had it with stinking thinking, you know.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So, I mean, we've got a situation where a lot of our core social institutions have like hit the wall and are barely serving the purpose for which they were created. For example, schools that, you know, are teaching what to think rather than how to think, and
mm-hmm.
medicine that treats symptoms rather than the cause of disease, and government that's mutated to serve the rich and powerful rather than representing, you know, what's best for all. So, you know, there's like a new common sense, you know, like it was the common sense, Thomas Paine's common sense that sparked the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And now I see a new common sense, and it's a global evolution, you know. Or you take the word revolution, and 90% of the word is evolution.
Yes.
And we've got this process happening where this awakening to this new common sense is crystallizing and catalyzing, and I call it geometrizing conscious evolution for a personal and a public, you know, win-win that seems to me to point to emphasis on this ascension process. And I think that the more we become conscious of how we are conscious, that you develop a relationship with conscience. You know, conscience is like a feedback loop. As you use these tools and processes that you refer to, and I was reading them on your Ascension 101 website, that it really cultures an awareness of the dynamics spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, that cultures, you know, conscience. And it's like at the very foundation of self-governance is, you know, how we govern ourselves. And I think this whole concept of, you know, the original Constitution of the United States, you know, you know, core constitutional freedoms was all about, you know, self-governance and that the collective,
yeah.
And that there are rules, and you know, and that these rules, called the Prime Directive or Cosmic Law or, you know, the Law of Love, whereby, you know, whereby love rules. I think that understanding, as it becomes common sense, it'll make what I call duh obsolete. you know, duh is an acronym for dumb, unconscious, and heartless.
Oh, that's, I love that.
So I'm looking at, you know, this dynamic that's going on right now, and I was really excited to discover you through an email, someone else, you know, and your what you're into, and the way you're coming at it from it's a very unique perspective, to say the least. I mean, there's, you know, everyone's got their own soul contract and comes in for, you know, a purpose, and awakening to it, it really helps to find someone that's kind of, and I love your story, you know, coming in clean and just having the pure intent, raise the vibration of the earth.
That's it.
and how that's filtered down, or, you know, how you've kind of got used to this body and become one of us humans.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's still a learning process. So there's still a lot of stuff that I don't get, you know?
Yeah.
There's still a lot of stuff that, and, you know, people will write to me and say, oh, it's okay for you, you know, you can do this. And
it's okay for you.
Whatever, yeah. You know, you haven't got an ego, blah. And I thought, well, I have an ego, otherwise I wouldn't be here. You need an ego to be able to survive as a singularity on the planet. And I have my battles with it sometimes, you know, and, but I do understand that somebody who has been here for a very long time and has a very huge attachment to their singularity will have it. I have a harder time than I have. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. It's not about where we reach, but the actual movement forward. That's what's important, right?
Yeah.
We change ourselves 1 millimeter, and that millimeter added to another person's millimeter, and another one, and another one, and a million, makes a huge amount of advance towards the raising the vibration of the planet.
So it's more like a moment-to-moment thing.
Yeah.
You develop a momentum, and the momentum, you know, in real time, as that momentum builds, really what's building is your vibrational frequency.
Yes.
And I sometimes refer to that frequency as the frequency of love in action.
I like that,
words,
yes.
The Holy Spirit is the frequency of love in action. It's not just, you know, concept of love, it's the love in action, and that's really what Holy Spirit is, or violet flame. It's the highest frequency in the color spectrum, so to speak, that is seen in the auras of people, you know, seen in the aura, you know, people that have second sight, seen in the auras of people that are in the Holy Spirit. It's this violet aura in their aura, and that really is the frequency of love and action. And it's like effective sensory perception. I didn't say extrasensory perception because there's nothing extra about it when you have it. It's just an effective sensory perception. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The state of humanity, you know, for much of humanity is they just don't get it. But at the same time, the pure intention is what focuses attention in that direction.
Absolutely.
And I've kind of distilled it to a formula that it's pure intention that focuses attention for love's retention and evolutionary ascension into the higher dimensions, the fifth dimension of love and action.
Mm.
You know, and I play with that a lot. It gives me endless pleasure.
I love the way you express things because it's very magical. It's very. You know, really, it's like the old-fashioned magic, you know, of words and vibration and color and sounds, how they come through, that creates something. It brings something into this 3D.
The whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very magical. I love that.
Worth 10,000 words. Well, I'm working on that. I understand that there are words are like cups of light, and I've been playing with words as a wordsmith for a long time, and with the same pure intention, you know, to, you know, somehow use words as a vehicle for, you know, more light, easier and faster.
That's right. Yeah, I love it. That's
well, I thought we'd kind of do a summary of your main message. And some points that I saw on Bill's website, and I thought we'd go through that as we kind of wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first ones was that the biggest secret that the powers that were, we used to call them the powers that be, but they've really lost their momentum, and they're just kind of like a flywheel that keeps turning even though the power's been shut off.
Yeah.
But the biggest secret of the powers that were is that that they do not want you to know is that each individual can create, manifest, and manipulate his or her own reality. And I would add to that we shape our reality, and then it shapes us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you comment on that?
I think so. I think that our reality and us are one, really.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that, even to the smallest, even if you are in a when you walk into somebody's home, for example, or you walk into a city, the vibration of the people in there is what creates that environment. That's a very physical level. And as our awareness expands, then we see ourselves being reflected in our reality. And that's what synchronistic events are. It's just ourselves communicating, or higher self communicating with us through our expanded body, which is our reality in our environment.
Yeah, so there's a thing of the stream of consciousness that I believe the individual and the collective consciousness, as the veil thins, this stream of consciousness is changing, and that there's a relationship that is strengthening between the individual and the collective. Not that the individual is less individual, but that individuality, what you call it, singularity.
Yeah.
That there is a singularity of the individual with the singularity of the collective.
Yes.
And that yes. That relationship is strengthening. This is all based on, as you say, that collective reality is based on agreement.
Yes.
It's an individual choice and it's a collective choice, and there's a merging of this greater singularity.
Absolutely, yes.
So I see that as the veil thins with a galactic alignment, our thoughts are going multidimensional, and one needs to agree that our spiritual connection is more important than our unspiritual divisions.
or see for what it is, the fact that divisions are an illusion. We're not really divided. We're not really singularities, you know.
I like the Three Musketeers saying, you know, one for all and all for one.
Yes. But that doesn't mean compromising what we want or compromising our singularity. I think that's where the point that you're making. We don't do that. We become more of ourselves. We don't compromise by agreeing with the majority. No majority can impose their reality on us, not on this new paradigm. That's how things used to be, but in the new one, as we make an agreement with ourselves, we move as a vibration towards the collective section which agrees with us.
Oh, you know? That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to do a wrap, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And
yeah,
is there anything
you'd
like to conclude with?
It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank
this is
you
awesome.
So much for being with us on Cosmic Love. And God bless you with your work. And to those who are listening, I look forward to seeing you at the next show. And happy trails in the meantime. So thanks so much to all of you. And thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, Anelia.
Yeah, me too. It's been awesome.
So happy trails, everyone. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality, that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience. It will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.